You're listening to Minor Talk On Demand exclusively on 600 ESPN El Paso. Stay up to date with Minor Talk by downloading the free 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app.
All right, and welcome back. We are live here for the Minor Talk preseason podcast presented by the Oscar Arieta Agency. Hey, it's time to win the West with our Win the West t-shirt contest. This has been going on really since last week. We're going to be announcing our first winner here on July 26th. We are here in the 600 ESPN El Paso control room. It's like a tiny space for all our listeners right now. It's like me, Sal, Alberto, crammed in this studio right here. And the reason why we're doing this is Chihuahua's baseball is going on right now. Sal Montes, who does all our UTEP football broadcasts and all the El Paso Chihuahuas broadcasts, along with Minor Talk as the co-host, he's back. Sal, this is year five of Minor Talk. How about that? Year five, time to win the West. What does win the West mean to you? Year five here on Minor Talk.
I think it's new energy. I think it's something that a lot of people are getting excited for if they're not already. It's a new identity, just kind of breezing through the roster and whatnot. There's so many different names for positions, and I think what Coach Walden is trying to do is establish an identity, but truth be told, I think only the team knows what the identity is, and it's going to kind of surprise everybody just by looking at the names of the different positions and stuff. So that's what it means to me. It just means new times. So let's see what goes on, man. It's going to be fun, though.
This isn't new to us, though, here on Minor Talk. Sal, like a changing of the torch or a passing of the torch or something like that. You know, we saw Rodney Terry leave from UTEP's program. We were here on Minor Talk when Joe Golding got hired to this men's basketball program. We saw when Keitha Adams departed from UTEP.
That's
Kevin
right.
Kevin Baker joins the program. He leads the team, and then he abruptly leaves after last year. And then Keitha Adams comes back to UTEP women's basketball to lead them. You know, we've seen these coaching and these regime changes, which brings us to here what we do on Minor Talk. I mean, ever since we started in 2019, there were fans who were really upset with things with UTEP football. Sal, and you, when you really think about it, we only had one real positive season to talk about. And you and I have hammered this home. I mean, that 2021 season, the New Mexico Bowl year where they went 7-6, there's a lot of fool's gold that year as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, they ended up going on a losing streak. I think it was losing their, you know, five of their last six games, whatever that was, to close out the season. And you know, for UTEP football fans, especially for, you know, the Minor Talk listeners out there, haven't had a lot to get excited about as of late. That's why I think what you're saying right there, Coach Walden, Coach Scotty Walden here for his year one, what he's brought is a lot of energy, a lot of excitement, a lot of passion behind his coaching, and it's translating into what we're going to see here for fall camp. We really don't know a lot about the depth chart, the roster, and all that kind of stuff. But from the fans' perspective, Sal, like, the fans just wanted a change. Bottom line, they just wanted the changing of a torch. Last year, we heard it all throughout the season on Minor Talk.
And you know what? It's a completely different type of approach as well. I think with Coach Dimmel, it was smash mouth in your face. You know what they're going to do, but try to stop them. We kind of know how that turned out, but the play style is just completely different. So I'll give an example. Is you mentioned that people don't really know the identity yet as far as the depth chart goes. The best way you could do that is the CFB 25 video game. but even with that, their pace is kind of like that turbo setting where it's just go, 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 go. And, you know, I'm excited to see what that's going to mean for offense. I think people wanted them to air out the ball more, kind of use the element of surprise a bit more. And so far, video game-wise, that's what that's what you get from it. So, yeah, man, it's something different when it comes to the offense. And even on defense, too, different schemes on defense. So, I don't know, man. It'll be fun to watch, though.
I can't believe that you just used EA College Football 25 to try to preview the offense, Sal. But that's what we're doing right
now. It's the best thing we could do, yeah.
We've literally only seen less than 3 hours of this offense actually on a football field, and that was from the spring ball game. You know, and that's just the reality. The media is allowed in for the workout portions, the stretching portions, and stuff like that of practices. At least that happened in the spring. But other other than that, I mean, we don't really know much. I mean, this is a team right now that is keeping battles within closed doors. I mean, you know, the quarterback battle is one of the biggest things that's going to highlight fall camp. It's going to be between Cade McConnell, Skylar Locklear. You know, on one side, you have an experienced quarterback who played 6 games for the Miners last year, albeit they didn't really mean a lot for the Miners last year, but threw for over 1,400 passing yards and had 6 touchdowns last year with Cade. The other side, Skylar Locklear, he hasn't proven much with Austin Peay or at the college football level. However, I would say this, when it comes to somebody like him and Skylar Locklear, he is the dual threat. He is the mobile, agile quarterback that maybe that go-go type of offense that you were just describing, maybe they're looking for. So that's one of the biggest things, I guess, kind of storylines going into the fall camp. But still, Sal, there's a lot that we don't know about this team.
And we're so close to the season now. It's right around the corner, and there's still a lot of question marks. So I think a fair question to ask, and of course, it's all speculation. I know nothing, but you know, does the team know as much as we think that we know about them, so to speak? Like, do they have their questions answered too?
How prepared are they?
Exactly. Yeah, it's an entirely new system on offense and defense, and not only that. If you look at the roster online, you'll see so many different receivers, running backs, all kinds of different positions. But you'll notice a lot of staff members too, as well. So to have so many guys who are going to be on the sideline in the press box, guys who are going to be involved with the football team who weren't last year, literally like physically, but also staff-wise, you know, position-wise, it'll be interesting to see how it comes up.
Okay, Sal, I always ask for you to do this. Go game by game for wins and losses. But before I ask you for your predictions, let's swing it over to Alberto Urreta, who is one of our newest acquisitions on Minor Talk last year. Sal, while you kind of brainstorm what kind of record you're going to do for UTEP here, I want to just ask you simply, Alberto, what was it like being on Minor Talk last year? Like, how do you describe it for our listeners out there who got a chance to hear you for the first time last year with us on Minor Talk? What was that like?
Well, first off, it was a lot of fun. Thank you for having me. And it was just a learning experience. And once you really got into the thick of the season and people started getting really disappointed, that was just disappointing in general, hearing the calls week in, week out, and the same people call and display the same emotions of disappointment and sadness about the state of the program. That was inherently sad and disappointing, but also kind of seeing the small amount of hope that people always left out. They always seem to be, they find hope in the smallest things, and maybe we can. So that was just really neat. So I'm really looking forward to see how people react to, you know, the new regime and the amount of energy that's been injected into the club.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting though, right? Because expectations is kind of one of my biggest questions that I'm going to ask head coach Scotty Walden here in just a little bit. Steve is also going to go game by game with us and give his full predictions as well later on here in the podcast. But your thoughts about just like what fans should expect this year, Alberto? Like, this has been one of the biggest talking points here on this show with Coach Walden, with UTEP football, because of all the unknowns that we just laid out. There's a lot of unknowns. Who's going to start in certain spots? Who's going to be, you know, UTEP standout players on offense, defense, and special teams? So because those things are unknowns as of right now, it makes me wonder, what should fans expect for the season?
Well, I take Scotty Walden as a man of his word. So I personally am looking forward to a big increase in offensive production, right? The 144 average rushing yards you did last year, that's not going to work this year, and I expect to see an increase. You know, the 217 passing yards you averaged last year, there should be an increase this year. Why? Because you bring in this new team that promises offensive production, promises, what was it, a play every 12 seconds or something like that.
Yes, exactly.
So it's new energy, and that should improve your offense on paper. That's what they're for. So the transfers from Austin Peay into the Division I programs here at UTEP, it's going to be interesting to see that transition from Austin Peay to now to the UTEP to Conference USA and to see how that adjustment is made.
Okay, Sal, let's swing it back to you. Now, I need to ask you before we go game by game. I need to ask you this one. What's the difference between Dana Dimmel and Scotty Walden?
Energy levels. I think that's a big one. You can feel the noise, so to speak, with Walden when he walks in the room. Where at Dimmel, I don't want to say more reserved, but he's also an older guy too. But
calm demeanor.
Yeah, calm demeanor and in media as well, like, you'll never really know how he's feeling. He's going to give the same answer each time with a smile on his face. With Walden, I think he kind of wears his heart on his sleeve a bit more, so you could kind of tell his emotions. But also, too, just the approach to the game. Dimmel's a bit more methodical, reserved in that sense. And from what we've seen so far with Coach Walden, he's up-tempo. He's upbeat. I think he coaches the way that his personality is. Whereas with Dimmel, is a bit more aggressive on some aspects, but that aggressive on a 1 to 10 sometimes is like 3 out of 10. And when you turn it up, it's like a 4 out of 10.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I mean, it goes from a 3rd and 10 halfback draw to a 3rd and 10 halfback dive. You know, those are the differences right there,
exactly,
in the notches,
yeah,
that you're just describing. So let's go game by game, Sal. You tell me, as far as this UTEP football team,
yeah,
goes, go ahead. You just take it.
All right. So Nebraska, I think that's going to be a loss. It's on the road. It's their first game. It's a week zero game as well, so that's going to be a tough one. But playing in Big Ten country is always going to be tough. I think they get this one against Southern Utah. It's the first home game. It's a lot of energy that's going to be in the building. And also, too, talent-wise, I think the guys that they've brought in are extremely talented. But, I mean, this is all speculation. So Liberty, that's at Liberty in Lynchburg. That's going to be tough. Colorado, out in FOCO, that's going to be tough. That's a team, Colorado State, I mean. That's a team that went toe-to-toe with Colorado last year. I don't see them doing that one. And they've had a lot of trouble out there in Fort Collins. So I think so far they're 1-3.
Okay, so let me set the stage. So 1-3 right now. After this point here, Sal, they get into Conference USA,
yes,
weekday action. First home game, Sam Houston.
I think they get that one against Sam Houston. It was a tough one last year out there in Huntsville. It's a completely different team this time. So I think they get the one against Sam Houston. Going over to Western Kentucky, what is that, Bowling Green, that's going to be a tough one. FIU, I think they'll lose that one. Louisiana Tech on the road in Ruston, I think they lose that one. Middle Tennessee at home, I think they drop that one, unfortunately. Kennesaw, I think they do get the win. Tennessee, I don't know. I know that he fared well against them last year with Austin Peay, but it's going to be second to the last game of the season, so it's a lot different. Teams are more formed by then. Who's still around health-wise?
Good point.
And then New Mexico State, I think they get that one.
4-8.
Yeah.
4-8. So that's your final pick right there. You got 4-8. Alberto, if you had to go four wins, under four wins, or over four wins, where are you going here for UTEP football?
I hate the situations that I'm putting here. Unfortunately, I do have them at just at four wins. If everything goes perfectly, I have them at four wins. But the way El Paso goes, I have them at under four wins, which is sad. But you know what? It's year one. This is just the foundation. They're laying the bricks for something better that's to come. So that's where I see the ray of hope.
Yeah, I gotta take into consideration all this when we put together ours later on. But what your thoughts, Sal?
And you know what? Four wins would still be an improvement from last year.
Big time. You're talking about winning two of your last three games right there in your scenario, Sal?
And I know people are tired of moral victories, but when you're having to start from the ground up, brand new, if you can get four wins when you got three the last year and you can be competitive in some of these games that you drop, I think there will be a lot more excitement. And there's going to be more highlight reels just based off of the speculation of what the offense could bring. So that could be attractive to some people. We might see more reels on on social media. So the ones I remember from Coach Dimmel were the Thick Six.
Yes.
And
yes.
The Bellin punt return.
Nice.
As well.
I remember the Lambeau ones too. Yeah.
But the thing with that though, Adrian, is that's a defensive one and that's a special teams one. So,
so
on
true.
Offense, maybe the fourth and short in the New Mexico Bowl.
Yeah, the pop up touchdown by Calvin Brown holds to Trent Thompson.
Yeah, we might see some more high flying plays from this offense. So I think that'll get people a bit more fired up and they'll kind of go to the stands just to see that type of stuff.
Yeah, for the Minor Talk listener perspective right now, there's not a lot of highlights in the past 10 years, 15 years, 20 years for UTEP football. That's why we can recall all of them here off the top of the head. I mean, they all go viral and everybody goes crazy. There's not a lot of highlight moments. There's not a lot of big moments for this UTEP football program. And I think this fan base right now is starving for something big. Sal, where did we get it wrong last year? Because I look back on last year's schedule. I think it was out of the gate, Jack. Jacksonville State.
Yes.
None of us expected that team to be that good. They ended up being a lot better than we thought. And it just kind of snowballed into a horrible, catastrophic season. And I didn't really say catastrophic because people picked this team last year to win Conference USA. Yeah. Maybe be the dark horse team out of CUSA, which I think it's a little outlandish, a little over the top, but nonetheless, they still said it, and they said that was going to be maybe a possibility for last year's team. Instead, they finished 3-9, and it's how they started. Where do we go wrong last year? Because even I think you were conservative with your take last year. I think I said like 8 wins, 7 wins, whatever it was. You were pretty conservative. Maybe you said 5 or 6.
I think, yeah, 5-7. 5-7. Like that.
But
yeah.
No one thought 3-9 based on all the returning talent and everything like that. And that was the reality for UTEP last year.
Yeah, it was abysmal out the gate. You just hit the nail right on the head. You drop one on the road to Jacksonville State. And I think it's in the fashion that they lost it is the game was up for grabs.
4th and 1.
It was up for grabs. And of course, questionable play calling.
They passed it on 4th and 1.
When you have Deion Hankins, you have run DMT. How do you, whatever. So they dropped that one.
Yeah, no Torrance Burgess anymore.
They beat UIW, which was close for a good part. And then Incarnate Word just wasn't able to hang on. But they go on the road in Big Ten Country Northwestern, and then they take on Arizona.
Remember they were favored?
Yeah. How? I don't know. Oh, because the head coach had gotten fired, but... I mean, you're on the road, too. Those fans didn't get fired. They were still in the stands.
UTEP's never beat a Power 5 team. Can we just say this from now on? Who cares if they're the worst team in the country? UTEP should never be favored against a Power 5 team, ever, until they actually beat one.
Yeah. Same thing with the Eastern time zone thing. What, one win?
One win in the Eastern time zone?
That's incredible.
These are just kind of like... Two wins almost now, like FIU. Rules that we need to start living. I think I've said this in the previous season preview podcast, Sal. There's like rules that you got to live by if you're a UTEP media member covering it like us, if you're a UTEP fan who's rooting for this team. Number one, UTEP is not going to be competitive or as competitive in the Eastern time zone. Number two, throw out the record book when it comes to the Battle of I-10, even though we still don't know what kind of roster the Aggies are going to bring this year. But, man, I feel like there's just a lot of unknowns for this season. It makes for an exciting season. I just hope we get some drama, Sal. I hope we get some of the sizzle and drama that we're kind of talking about and alluding.
Yeah, and I think the element of surprise by the Miners is what's going to help out. We'll know more about this team, and we say this all the time when there's a new coach, but we'll know more about them by year two, year three. So I love the Detroit Lions, so I'll use them as an example. That first year under Dan Campbell, terrible, right? But you saw a little bit of promise. Element of surprise the next year. They go on this big win streak. Now there's no element of surprise. You're going to be the hunted. You're no longer the hunter. So they're going to be the hunters for the first year, year and a half maybe. But after that, once teams have more scouting reports and film on them, that's where we'll know more about them. So they have a chance to strike it big in that first year.
Let's see what happens, man. Alberto, your final thoughts here as we kind of wind it up here on the season preview pod. There's a lot of unknowns. I think that's a big subject of this one. Before we get out to Coach Walden, before we get out to Steve Kaplowitz here on the podcast, your final thoughts here as we head toward fall camp here for UTEP football.
Well, certainly look for the team to be more exciting, score more points throughout the entirety of the games. You know, I was looking over to the Incarnate Word game. You go into the half 14-14, you end up not scoring any more points. I don't expect that from the Miners anymore. I expect them to continuously score in games, look better on offense, become viral because of their explosiveness on offense and everything that brings. And people love that type of play, and that gets viral on the internet. So that'll definitely happen this year. So I'm excited for what's to come, and just excited to finally see this team get together, play some football, because it's shrouded in mystery, as we've said. So I'm excited to see these games, and they just need to play better at home. That's really what I'd like to take away. You need to play better at home so that you can have a solid fan base of people who come out to the games and support you, and that from there you build.
Next up is UTEP head coach Scotty Walden, who has a conversation with yours truly, along with Zay Galindo, UTEP Zay, and we get a chance to talk with the head coach himself, so let's get to the conversation here, coming up next. All right, welcome back. We're here on the Minor Talk podcast, part of the Win the West giveaway. We're here with the Win the West man himself. It's head coach Scotty Walden here for the preseason podcast here on Minor Talk, presented by the Oscar ID at the agency. Hey, coach, thank you so much for joining us, and thanks for doing this. What does Win the West mean to you?
Well, man, of course, Adrian Zay, excited to be here with you guys, man. And Win the West for us, man, this, you know, what Oscar's doing over at Allstate is really cool. But Win the West is something that, you know, when, the job was brought up, it's something that, we came up with, and it was kind of a mission statement, kind of a mantra for how we're going to attack building the UTEP minor football program. And it's something that I actually utilized in my interview with Mr. Center and Dr. Wilson, and covered what that, you know, what that meant and what the vision was of that. And basically it's four components, man. It's very simple. Number one, win the West means, you know, win El Paso first. You know, I'm a firm believer. It's just something I've seen with championship teams, with good, consistent programs. No matter what, like, they win their city, they win their region, whether it's recruiting or it's the support. So number one, we're gonna, you know, when we talk about evaluating talent, we're gonna start right here in El Paso. I think we would be, you know, really naive to the fact if we just ventured all the way out somewhere and didn't look at the talent that's in this city. But then we're gonna win the community, meaning, you know, we're not just gonna be a football team. You know, hey, we're here in El Paso and we're a football team. No, we're going to be one with the community, right? We're going to be partnered. And so, we, you know, our players put in over 400 hours of community service in the spring, and that's something that we want to get integrated with the community. And this is, we're El Paso's team. You know, this is El Paso's team, the UTEP Miners, man. So we want to be one with El Paso. And so then we want to win recruiting. And the number two, the phase of that is we want to win the region of West Texas. You know, we want to be the team in West Texas. You know, again, there's a school up there in Lubbock. You know, that's the panhandle, man. This is West Texas, all right? Like, we want to be the school in West Texas that people are like, man, like, I'm in Midland. I'm in Odessa. I'm in Lubbock. I'm in Amarillo. I'm down here. I'm in Del Valle. I want to be, you know what, or Del Rio. I want to be a Miner. You know, I want to stay home. I want to stay in the West Texas region, and I want to go to UTEP, you know. And then the next thing is we want to be the G5 program in the state of Texas that young men want to attend. You know, there's a sign I always joke, you come to Las Cruces, come to El Paso, there's a sign that says Beaumont, 858 miles away or whatever it is. And we, you know what, we want that young man in Beaumont to be thinking about being a Miner. You know, just like kind of like Jalen Jones, who's the highest rated recruit in school history, you know, Beaumont Westbrook, came all the way out here to UTEP. You know, we have a brand, we have a great brand, we have a great city, we're in the state of Texas. There's no reason why a young man can't look up in the state of Texas and say, man, you know what, I want to play for the UTEP Miners, and we want to be a destination place for that. And then fourthly, when we get 1 through 3 accomplished, the last piece of it is we will develop, and the goal is to develop the UTEP Miners and to be a consistent contender, championship contender, and one of the most dominant, well-respected G5 programs in the nation. And the people I like to compare to and I like to think about are great programs like Boise State, great programs like Appalachian State. You know, 30 years ago, you know, or give or take, you know, you didn't really know who those people were, but you know what? They did it the right way. They got the community involved. They won their region. You look at some of the players they have. They have players from that region, and they've dominated, and they got on a national scale. That's eventually the conversations that we want to be in at UTEP, is we want to be one of the most prominent G5 programs in the nation. When they think about UTEP, they think of a winner. They think of a consistent winner year in and year out. But it all starts with winning the West and winning at home first.
You know, the interesting thing that I find with your coaching so far, you've actually delivered on a lot of your promises that you made at that initial press conference that you just alluded to. One of the things is you promised on the excitement, the recruiting, top recruiting class per 247 Sports and Rivals by Conference USA's model for UTEP this season. And then also, not to mention that, but fans last year, they were wondering, well, when is UTEP going to start getting P5 recruits? And, you know, Zay and I were going through the list this, you know, right before we spoke with you, Coach. Yeah. The list is really impressive, and it's not grad transfers. It's like really young guys who are trying to bounce back from going the Power 5 route and want to make a name for themselves here at UTEP. How's the recruiting kind of been the lifeblood of just achieving those promises?
Yeah, I appreciate you recognizing that, you know, because we, you know, not that we're going to be perfect in everything, but we want to, you know, stand on what we believe and stand on what we say and be men of integrity. And, you know, again, building a program and, you know, winning and building those, that stuff takes time, right? And, you know, that doesn't mean, when I say that to people, that doesn't mean that, you know, that's a cop out to say, well, we're just going to wait till year 4 to be really good. No, like, we want to win now. like I've never woke up a day in my life wanting to be mediocre and wanting to just, hey, let's just be okay. We want to win now, but we also understand that, like, building a program, you know, is a process. It is not a snap your fingers and it's done, you know, but at the end of the day, I think that we've recruited young men that give us the opportunity to have success really early because of the type of people they are and the players they are. And so the recruiting is the lifeblood of any program, but we have got to continually look for people that fit our systems. And you know what? If we're in a battle, I tell our staff all the time, you know, we'll have recruiting meetings, we'll talk about so-and-so, and they'll be like, man, I'm, you know, coach, I mean, he's visiting, you know, Texas Tech next week. He's visiting Arizona. He's visiting Texas State, North Texas, you know, all these people, right? You know, some people view that as a negative. Like, I'm in there like, oh, we're on the right guy, you know, because you know what? Good players are sought after by several people. And there's some gyms, like, you know, we just had a young man commit that I think is been, obviously I can't talk about it because he's not signed, but he is a young man that I think, you know, we had in camp. He came out here. He stayed for two camps. He absolutely balled out. He has great tape, and he doesn't necessarily have all the P5 love or Power 4 love and all this, but you know what? When we see a kid that fits our system and fits who we are culturally and you know, has the tape and the things that we're looking for, we don't care who's offered him. We're going to sign him whether he's a no-star or a five-star because we believe he's a fit, and that young man's a great example of that. But, no, I think it says a lot about our program, especially in year one. You know, we did all this without a goal. You know, there's no Goldmine Collective when we did it. There's no brand-new locker room, right? I mean, that locker room that's being done downstairs is a Power 4 locker room. It's going to get unveiled here in August, and it's going to be – when it comes out, people are going to be like, wow, like that's a whole nother level. You know, and I think – it says a lot about El Paso. It says a lot about our brand, the fact that we were able to compete and bring in those high-level recruits, you know, with just getting started, you know. And so that makes me really optimistic and excited for the future. But recruiting is – you're right, man. Recruiting is the lifeblood, and that's – no matter what – I always tell our staff, it doesn't matter what play we draw, that's all good and grand, but if we don't have the players to do it, what does it matter? You know, so it's about the Jimmys and the Joes, man. You got to get great players in this program.
So this Minor Talk fan base right now is very excited. I mean, you look all over social media right now. They're bought in on this new era. Now, going back to something that you just said in that previous answer, the expectations here, year one, how do you kind of view this right there? I mean, we're talking here almost the start of August right here when we're going to turn the page on the season. But your thought on just expectations?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, you know, I think that number one, to your point too, I've been so just thankful and impressed with the buy-in, not only from our players, but from the city of El Paso and the support. It's been so cool. Like, it's been awesome to feel like we're on one accord. And I know I haven't lost the game, so it's pretty easy to do that, right? But, you know, the cool thing is, the thing I love about this job is, like, we're in West Texas. I kind of said this in my press conference. We're out here by ourselves, essentially, in a way. And it's us, man. We get to lock arms and we get to battle the world together, man. And let's go do it. So I really appreciate the support. And you know what I love about our admin too is, like, they've been so open-minded to all the different things that we're trying to do. Because we are totally trying to rebrand this program. We are trying to rebrand, again, taking some core things that were done in the past that are traditions and molding them into something that we think could be even better, but also rebranding who we are as a Texas school, as a dynamic, innovative program. So, you know, I've been so thankful to the admin who has been, you know, I always get concerned when you get a lot of no's, and it's been a nothing but yeses, you know, and how we can work, you know, the things we're trying to accomplish out. But to answer your question, expectations, you know, I don't know, Adrian. I'm not one of those guys that sits there, man, well, I wonder what record we could have and stuff like that. I mean that truly and faithfully. Like, it's just to me about being better every day. And I think if we get lost in that, I have fallen victim early in my career to just focusing on, man, okay, maybe we can win that game. Maybe we can win that game. And it's all about the end result. And then you get your butt kicked, you know, as opposed to just, you know what, every single day. The thing that I love about our players, our coaches, we have concentrated on just being better every day and falling in love with what we're doing right now. Like our kids, the energy they're bringing in the weight room right now in July, you know, this week, where, like, this is the hardest week of training that they've had all summer. And for them to go attack it the way that they did to get themselves ready, it shows me, like, how excited they are for the season. That's what I kind of gauge, I guess, expectation on, is having daily expectations. And that's going to lead to the big overall view. But I expect to be competitive. I expect to go out and put a brand of football that's going to be exciting on the field. And you know what? We're going – the bottom line is, I've said this since day one, you're going to get a team that plays hard, that does not back down from anybody, and that goes to play to win every game. Play to win every game. And then we're going to see where the chips fall.
Coach, a couple months ago, there was an anonymous – survey on The Athletic. It was asking Texas high school football coaches about the state of recruiting in Texas. And you've got coaches talking about, hey, UTEP has come in year one, and they're turning it around, right? Yeah. You guys blitzed Texas high school football programs this offseason. You've kind of eliminated that stigma that, hey, even though UTEP's, you know, in El Paso, they can recruit Texas. How have you gone around, you know, doing that?
No, it's a great point, Zay. And I, you know, number one, I'm a Texas guy, so and we have a lot of relationships on staff. But I'll say this, man, like, the thing we got to remember is, and I get it, there's certain financial restrictions on some people that, you know, that just is difficult to drive or fly. But I would say, man, like, people are starting to realize, like, oh my gosh, like, we have direct flights to Dallas, we have direct flights to Houston, we have direct flights to San Antonio, direct flights to Austin. Literally the major cities that we need to hit, you can get a direct flight to. And if you don't live in those major cities, you can drive to it. You know, like, if I'm an East Texas guy, I can drive an hour and a half, 2 hours at DFW, Love Field, and I can shoot on out. If I'm in the Golden Triangle, I can go to Houston, and I can fly out. And I think people, we've had so much success with getting people out here. I've been super impressed, you know, because when I took the job, it was like, well, good luck, man. You're not gonna get anybody on campus. You're not going to get – I mean, and guys, we've had 3 stars, 4 stars. We've had guys that we want on campus – from not only El Paso, which is obviously super easy, but all the way out to people in Houston, people in DFW. So, man, and my thing is, and you know this, that, like, you have NIL, you have the portal, you have all these things, but you can still outwork people. And if you outwork people and build genuine relationships and you show them a vision of where you want a program to go, man, they're going to want to come see that, you know? And so I think that's why we've had so much success of, you know, going and recruiting Texas and getting people out here to see what we have. And the cool thing about it is, like, it's almost like it's almost like we're a new school in Texas in a sense of this. And I mean it, like, I don't know that any staff has attacked Texas this hard. So, like, these Texas kids that come out, like, I've never been to El Paso before. I've never been to the Sun Bowl before. And I think it's going to pay dividends in the future because, as you know, word of mouth spreads. And all of a sudden, it's like, dude, have you ever been out there? That place is unreal. It's built into a mountain. And here's the thing, too, we got to realize is, like, it's going to help us in the portal the next several years. Because when you bring a high school kid, and maybe we lose that kid to Texas Tech. Like, we're recruiting a kid right now, and he committed to a P5 school, committed a Power 4 school. He committed to Arizona. And we've been recruiting the heck out of him. I know this for a fact, that if one day – let's say he sticks with Arizona – right? And one day he gets in the portal, he's going to remember the love that we showed him. He's going to remember what this place looked like. He's going to remember what El Paso was. But, man, you know what? So when we call him, if he gets in the portal, there you go. So you're building pipelines. You got to realize when you recruit now, you're building pipelines for the future. Even if you don't see the payout right now, you may see it two years from now. But I just think, man, us getting Texas kids out here and not backing down from challenges and going and attacking has been critical. We kind of utilize, you said a great word, blitz. And that's exactly, we had a recruiting strategy this spring where, as opposed to sending, you know, two guys there, one guy there, we just wanted to flood an area and just freaking make noise. You know, just paint it orange. Paint DFW orange, paint Houston orange, paint San Antonio orange. And it's like, dang, these guys are everywhere, you know, because we're just flooding a spot. So that was a great pickup on that. And I think that really helped us.
So, Coach, let's jump into the team itself.
Yeah.
Softball, just offense. What are you seeing so far from top to bottom on the offensive side?
Man, you know, I really like I think we've addressed the issue. When we first got here, we were concerned about our speed because the way we run our system, you know, we need guys that can run. And so I love our speed right now from a skill player. I'll kind of give you a holistic on each you know, skill. Bigs and mid skill. The skills, I love the speed I see right now. I think they're learning to play in the system with confidence, you know, and that's starting to get fun to watch them operate. You know, we had an OTA the other day, which is, you know, we're allowed to work with our players for an hour on the field 2 days a week, so 2 hours total a week, right? And we had an OTA, I guess it was last week or 2 weeks ago, and we ran 180 plays. Now, on air, because you can't go against your defense, but we ran 180 plays on air. And, like, we're right now, because we're trying to change a whole philosophy. It's just a whole different, you know, mentality to what we do offensively, where it's aggressive and we don't care what the defense does. We care about us. We care about us getting lined up fast, because when we have the ball on offense, we have to understand we dictate. They don't dictate to us. You know, and I think when you try to be perfect, the defense is dictating you, so we're going to dictate to them. And so, like, our guys lining up on air and being able to teaching tempo mechanics, like who to get the ball, like post snap, who do you get the ball to? How do you get the ball to the ref? All these things that they're learning. So getting that amount of reps has been so good. So I love the speed we got at skill. I love the quarterback competition. You know, everybody knows we're in a quarterback competition. I know Skylar and Cade McConnell, get the brunt of that conversation, which they should. But man, I'm telling you, JP Pickles and Shea Smith, I have been so impressed with those guys. Shea Smith being a local kid, like I am really excited about Shea and really excited about JP. Those two young bucks have come in and picked the offense up, and so it's fun to watch that room because they're super competitive, but they're super respectful of each other. So it's not toxic, but it's healthy competition, and that's been that. I think those quarterbacks have picked up the offense and they've been working their tails off. I love our running back room, our minor back room, those positions. I like the combination of size and speed in those rooms. And then I love our tight ends have been the room to me since the spring that, man, I think have been working so hard in the weight room. And now that they feel, because the tight end position in our offense is the second hardest mentally, but right behind quarterback. You got to know your stuff at tight end, and that's been really fun to watch those guys pick it up. Marcus Vincent, Judah, I mean, those guys have been so good. Martavis Collins, Julian Lopez, man, I mean, those guys are dudes, man. They've been working good. And the O line, just the strength levels and the weight that those guys have put on. You know, we've had some freshmen show up. We got a couple of really good freshmen O linemen that have showed up and put on 15 to 20 pounds already, and that's really cool to see. I don't want to jump into defense. You didn't ask about defense yet, but offensive, that's kind of my synopsis. I like how they're picking it up, but I love the competitiveness. You can feel so much more retention from the spring of what they learned, and you can feel like that intentionality of their reps. Like they understand what they're doing and why they're doing it.
And the receivers, just real quick on them.
Yeah. Oh, the receivers, man. Like it kind of goes back to that skill, like just the speed. I've been super impressed with those guys. I think that we've done a good job of building some size along with our speed out there. So we got a better feel for where guys fit. The hardest thing in our offense to discern is just, you know, because it's all about getting the best players on the field. So we're almost positionless when it comes to receiver. Like, I'm not one of those guys like, all right, this guy's got to be a Z. He's got to be an X. It's about getting the best dudes on, the best four on the field. So we've been the biggest, you know, length of time we spend is like, okay, we know our personnel, but you know, what's the best group to get on the field at the same time? But man, you talk about, you know, guys like, you know, Trey Goodman and Ashton Nickelberry, Jaden Smith, Kenny Odom, Cam Thomas, who's a minor back, Amari, Kevin Hurley, Luke Seib, all those guys have just done so well out there, man, and really picking up the offense and, you know, play. We got, you know, it's almost, you're going to like some of those freshmen, man. You know, Raph Campbell, Wannabe Davis, Wannabe can run. You know, just really love the competitive number, but I love the speed that we've put out there. So I'm really excited about those guys.
All right, now give me the defensive overview, because this is this is the unit that I just get so excited about with some of the talent that you bring.
I am too, man. I'm really excited. And we also have a lot of, you know, when you look at our roster, you know, people wouldn't believe, but we, you know, we've got, you know, close to 30 some odd seniors on this team. Like, we got a lot of seniors. You know, now some guys have played more than others, but some guys have played sparingly, you know, in roles, but now they're going to be asked this year to be in more, you know, starting roles or, you know, getting a lot more time. And the defensive side really epitomizes that more in the offense. We have three returning starters on offense, about four on defense. So, you know, when you look at our defense, I'm really excited about the guys we brought in, but starting with the D-line, I am really excited about our D-line because of the experience up there. You look at our D-line, they may have the most seniors out of anybody. They do, out of anybody on our team. I mean, that is a loaded, experienced group. I feel better about our D-line depth than I ever have of any team I've coached. And so it's just going to come down to the discernment of, you know, how many reps to get this guy, how many reps to get this guy, play the hot hand and having to, you know, do that. But I love, you know, man, Vita has been just a force. Sione, Quinzavius, you know, Warren, who's a transfer, coming in. Devin Goree, you know, I really like what I see there. You know, we got a young man from New Mexico, Hunter Rapola, that came in this summer. Is really, really impressive. Yeah, he's come in. We signed Kofi Barracks Taylor from Colorado, who has come in, and man, that dude's That dude's motor, he doesn't know how to go anything less than 100. Like, he's fun to watch. So I really like what I see from him. But that D line group's really good. That linebacker core, including our outside linebackers. Man, I tell you what, Stratton Shufeldt, who we brought in as a freshman, he looks like a dang senior. When he walks in the room, that joker is a weight room warrior, and I love what I see from him to go along with guys like who are here in the spring: Trey Dunson, Nate Diamond, Dorian Hopkins, DBT, Dylan Brown Turner, Jake Hall, who's a veteran. I really like the veteran group that we have in that linebacker room. Really smart players. You look at a kid like Echo Taylor that we brought in, who's a hybrid guy. He's put on weight. I mean, he just looks so good, and I think he's got super. I mean, his length is going to help us out a ton there. So I really like that linebacker room. I feel good. I feel really good about the depth. The room that I'm probably most excited about, not to tell you from the other rooms. I'm excited about all of them, obviously, but the I feel so good. I've never felt this good in my career about our secondary. I really like our secondary guys. I mean, from the corners to the safeties, the length that we have back there and the speed. This is the longest. I've never had a longer DB room than what we have, and I'm talking corner and safety. You look at our corners, I could line those jokers up, and man, like that, from sitting in this desk, they could all touch that wall over there. They're long as all get out, man. I call them Stretch Armstrong. Them jokers that you think you got a vertical ball completed, and they're so long that they make up for it. So I love our corner room and the safeties. I really, really like what I see, and the guys that are, just kind of pick on, you got Josiah Allen, who is just, he played every game last year. He's got super great man-to-man coverage skills, and he's a veteran. Xavier Smith, who's played, Corey Chapman, you got Jalen Shelton, Yesmin Green, A.J. Odoms, who played every game last year, who is just – that experience in the back end is huge. Oscar Moore's really had a standout summer. And then I could go on and on, just about guys like Landon Hullaby, who's come in and really adapted from Texas Tech. He's done a fantastic job. I just look out there at corner, man, and I see the length and the speed, and I get really excited. But our defensive secondary has been, at least this summer, one of the most impressive groups on this team. So I really like where we're at.
Going back to the offense for a second,
yeah,
I was watching Cam Thomas highlights the other day, and
those are fun to watch.
Yeah, I was bummed out. He's not in the new game, but if he was, I'm guessing he'd have 95 speed, 99 change of direction. I mean, that minor back position, it's fun to watch. I mean, do you plan on using a guy like Cam Thomas, even though you already have and coaching him at Austin Peay? But yeah, this year, how do you plan on using him?
No, it's a great question, because in our offense, those guys like that sometimes go under the radar recruiting wise, because they're 5'8", and they're short. But for us, my career, I've made a living off those guys, man, because those guys are so I love dynamic, diverse players like him. But you got to know how to use them, and you got to have a system that can use them. And that's why that minor. I got a lot of questions earlier. Like, what's a minor back? If you wanted that question answered again, just look at Cam Thomas. That's a minor back. That's a guy that can play running back, slot. Heck, we've even put him outside sometime, because he's a guy that has to know everything, because I don't want to use the word gadget, because like when you use the word gadget sometime, it makes it sound like he can only be used in certain things, and he's not going to be limited. He's going to be a guy that you use all over the field, but he's certainly a dynamic player. I'm bummed out too. He's not on the game because that joker is a weapon, man. And, I joked with him. I told him, I was like, don't worry, man. When they do the mid-year or midweek update, whatever they do, you're going to be on it. Don't worry. I said, in the meantime, just create yourself, man, and just have fun. But he's not – the thing that people forget is he's also – one of the best punt returners I've ever been around. And the thing about him that makes him a great punt returner, he's fearless. And we let him go. When you have a great player, a great punt returner like that, a great skill guy, you try not to put, restrictions on him. You want those guys to play free and fast. But that guy's going to be used all over the field. You're going to see him. When you watch our offense, you're going to see Cam Thomas be utilized not in just one spot. He's going to be utilized all over the field, because you got to get those guys the ball in a multitude of ways so they can help your football team.
Yeah, going back to special teams now, you talked about Cam Thomas being a punt returner, but I mean, people gloss over special teams like it's nothing.
No right? doubt.
This is a defense,
That's right, baby.
This is big time, right?
That's right.
This can change the way, a game is played. How are you seeing on that side of the ball?
You're bringing it up at a perfect time, because we literally just had an OTA on defense where we actually – usually those OTAs, you know, you do just a bunch of indie work, O&D. We took a whole day and did straight WeFence install in the summer so that these new guys can get used to it. And I literally said what you said before the team took the field that morning. WeFence will win or blank us. I hate using that L. The one thing in our program we're working on is not using the L word anymore. So like we're trying to eliminate that word from people's vocabulary. So we treat that like a curse word. So it's gonna either win or you know what games, right? So it could be the change, because the way I view it is if WeFence is consistent and WeFence travels with you and WeFence is the constant. We just need one other side of the ball to come through. And you dominate when you get both sides of the ball to come through. But when you can win WeFence, it gives you a chance to win every game. And so I really like Buzz Fabiano. We brought in a guy named Aiden Webb. Adam Jacklin, obviously, you know, from a kicker punter perspective, those guys have really had good summers. And then obviously Angelo Tejada, who, you know, people overlook that deep snapper and that short snapper. That's a critical position. Like, that is critical for the operation standpoint, for you're not getting punts or kicks blocked, right? And Tejada is one of the best in the league, and he's going to be one of the best in the country, I feel like. I mean, he lifts like a linebacker, which I love specialists that don't view themselves as specialists. They want to get in there and lift with the linebackers. And that joker's as strong as some of the guys we got on the team, you know. So I love guys like that. But we have so much, going back to kind of your receiver question and kind of the overall, we have so much speed back there. And a guy that I didn't mention that I think of speed is Kenny Odom. You know, Kenny is one of the fastest players I've ever coached. I mean, just straight line. You know, there's some guys that got, you know, the unique thing you were talking about, Cam, and that's why he's a great punt returner. He's got great COD, change of direction. He can wiggle and then he can go. Kenny has got decent wiggle, but Kenny, if you let that joker run straight, I mean, he's going to beat you. I mean, I don't know many people that are going to beat him. He can flat out fly. So you talk about the return game. We feel like we have a lot of guys and pieces that we could put back there. Marquez Taylor comes to mind as one of those guys that's just, you tell him to run a 40-yard dash straight, man, that you give him a head of steam, like, he's as fast as anybody. And so I think we have a great just core guys of speed that can change the game on WeFence.
So two guys I just want to highlight defensively, and coincidentally enough, they're both Kilgore guys. It's Maurice Moas-Moreland and Katie Johnson, man. Can we keep this Kilgore pipeline going?
No doubt. Kilgore Junior College puts them out, man. No doubt. Those guys are so special. I'll tell you, KD, man, he is so unique in the sense he's talented, but he is so coached. I had a question the other day from somebody. What has separated the best players you've coached from, you know, just good players? And the number one thing to me is coachability. You know, the guys that want to be coached, that want to be great, those guys are cut above. Because most players, you know, they want to be, you know, hey, teach me what to do, leave me alone. But there's guys that just fiend to be coached. KD's one of those guys. And when you do coach him on something, that's what's going to let him make so many plays, is the fact that over time, consistently, he's going to be so crucial to our success consistently, because over time, he's just going to keep making those routine plays, then he's going to make some great plays, and it's because he's so coachable. And then obviously Mo, we all know what Mo can do, and you know, having a dynamic player like that who's so versatile, we're going to keep the Kilgore Junior College pipeline rolling, baby. Ain't no doubt about that. They keep putting them out like that, we're all over it.
Coach, winding things down, first feeling, I mean, look, we're looking at this beautiful view from your coaching office.
That's the best.
The feeling that it's going to be like when you walk out the tunnel for that first game, it's Southern Utah, it's September, the first week of September, 7th of September, and it's going to be a Saturday evening game, so everybody will get a chance to tailgate, everybody will get a chance to get excited for this one. What's the feeling? We obviously, all eyes are on August 31st, but just you've looked at this stadium this entire time that you've been here, and just that feeling.
I can't tell you how many times I've just, because obviously I've never experienced a game day, being the head coach at UTEP yet. And so I just go back to imagining like what it's going to be like. So there's a lot of times I've sat up here doing what we're doing right now and kind of envision what that's going to look like. And man, I hope the stands are full. I know for game one, we've sold over 30,000 tickets already. So shameless plug to finish out. Let's sell out the Sun Bowl, okay? We ain't far away from doing it. So anybody listening to this, come sell out the Sun Bowl for that first game. It's going to be a lot of fun. But I just think that there's going to be a lot of somebody's going to have to, you know, kind of pinch me, when I walk out, you know, just make sure, hey, this is real, you know, to see the fans, to see El Paso come out, to see all the hard work that these guys put in pay off is going to be really fun. But, you know, when you walk out of a venue like the Sun Bowl and you see it packed, I don't think there's going to be anything like it, man. You know, to get the, you know, it's going to be a lot of jitters, a lot of goosebumps, you know, but that's going to be really fun. But hopefully we go out and put on a great showing for our fans. But I envision that a lot, you know, what it's going to be like to walk out that first time. And I know El Paso is going to bring it. I know UTEP's going to bring it. And I know our players are going to bring it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, Coach, I can't wait for fall camp. That's next, right? And that's what we're all ready for. We're ready for the start of practices officially. Yeah. And it's here. Football season is here, and we're ready to go.
Hey, we're excited as well, man. And really appreciate Adrian Zay. Thank y'all for coming by and doing this. And we'll pick up and we'll see you this season.
Thanks, Coach. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for your time.
And that's UTEP head coach Scotty Walden, who joined us late last week to catch up and preview the upcoming season. Now let's switch it over to our conversation with Steve Kaplowitz to go game by game and do our season prediction. All right, we're continuing here on the Minor Talk podcast, getting ready for the season here for UTEP football. Joining me as he does all the time for the preseason podcast is Steve Kaplowitz, partner here on Sports Talk. Steve, this is a weird season. Last year we came in with so many expectations. We talked about this ad nauseum on Sports Talk, but this year is so different, and I feel because of all the changes, because of the roster turnover, because of the coaching change, the new era with Scotty Walden, I'm definitely tempering my expectations for this season because it's so uncertain. I mean, you look across Conference USA, you've got certainty with teams like Liberty, you've got a trending upward team with groups like Western Kentucky and Jacksonville State, and then from like 3 to 10, It's all up in the air, or like 4 to 10. It's all up in the air right there across Conference USA. So we are now here in the unknowns for this UTEP football team as it stands.
You could not be more right. I mean, look, we were excited this time last year. Remember, I mean, I was looking at this roster coming back. I was looking at everything going on. I'm thinking, oh man, this is the year. They're gonna break through in the year 6 of the Dana Dimmel regime and turn things around. And unfortunately, you know, Gavin Hardison gets hurt. The season goes downhill in a hurry. But even when Gavin was healthy, the team wasn't playing well. So you just never know. The truth is, Adrian, even when we feel good about UTEP, You just always have to say to yourself, look, it's UTEP, and you never can actually gauge what's going to happen in a college football season with this team.
And for first-year coaches, it's also real difficult. I mean, you look at Dana Dimmel, his first season, 1-11. You look at Sean Coogler's first season, they struggled. Really, you have to look back to Mike Price in the early 2000s, where he came onto the scene, obviously came here from all the controversy out of Alabama, but he won immediately, Steve, and that doesn't really happen here at UTEP.
Let's look at the positives for a second. Okay, young head coach, young coaching staff. That can go a long way into motivating players, keeping them up, allowing them to play maybe above their capabilities, playing a style of ball that is trendy, that a lot of teams are using and are successful with. They were successful in this in their last stop. And sometimes when you're under the radar and nobody expects anything, and then you come in with a whole new, you know, new football team, you could surprise some people. That being said, knowing the amount of turnover from last year's team and how there's so many new players, I feel like even if UTEP is able to put together a pretty good season, it might take a little while. Maybe like reminiscent of New Mexico State a couple of years ago with Jerry Kill, where they struggled out of the gate, and just when you were ready to write them off, they found a little lightning in a bottle that season and made it work.
I think that's how it has to be looked at, Steve, because you know, when you're talking about this whole roster overhaul, it's going to be tough to start things off with the season. That's why when we go game to game, it's going to be interesting to see if they improve, if they get worse throughout the year. I'll say this, in years past, especially in recent years, when UTEP struggles out of the gate, they tend to lose pretty much to close out in October, November. I feel like with a fresh regime, with a new coaching staff right here, they're built to at least finish out the season with some urgency, finish out the season with energy and enthusiasm, be competitive in these games instead of just folding over in November when you're not playing real relevant football. Steve, it doesn't matter what the record is. I just hope in November they're still motivated by something with this football team to close out strong.
Maybe the motivation is the schedule eases up for a change, so they'll have an opportunity to try to get a little momentum. They have some favorable matchups the last month of the season, and then they can start trying to finish strong. The hardest part is this, Adrian. They're going to have that first 4 or 5 games. I mean, you could not pick a tougher start to your schedule than what they have with a whole new staff. And that's why, to me, they're going to have to like really find themselves against some very good opponents early on.
So we are about a week away from the start of practice. Let's just jump into it. Let's go game by game, 2024 predictions here on Minor Talk, and let's start it off with the first game of the schedule. August 31st at Nebraska, Big Ten affiliate. They've got the number one rated freshman quarterback going into the mix with that Cornhusker squad, but he's also a freshman. That's Raiola, Steve. And if they're able to expose him as a freshman in that first game, who knows? But on the flip side, it's a Big Ten opponent. Look at last year. UTEP went to Northwestern as a favorite against a Big Ten opponent, and Northwestern creamed UTEP. It wasn't even close. It was 38-7. It was close maybe at half, but you know, that was pretty much it. So give us your thoughts on this one right here. Nebraska, UTEP. I've got them losing in this first game.
I do too. I mean, I don't care. Yeah, it's a freshman quarterback, but he's one of the best freshmen in the country. So let's just put it that way. He's a freshman where they're excited in Lincoln. They believe, first off, you got Matt Rhule there, number one. And number two, you've got a quarterback that you suddenly feel like can take you places these next couple of years. Who's going to play as a true freshman? That's a big deal. Now, would I like to see UTEP's defense get to him a little bit early on and make it interesting? Absolutely. Would I love to see UTEP's offense click out of the gate and put a little scare into Nebraska? Sure. Do I think that's going to happen? Probably not. I this is one of those 41-13, 41-17 kind of games I feel is coming for UTEP. And despite the fact that we got all the excitement, all the enthusiasm, I just don't see them being able to go into Lincoln against this team and shocking Nebraska early on.
I also wouldn't throw the kitchen sink. You know, I get it. I get the enthusiasm. I get the excitement around this football program right now. But save the rest for the rest of the season, right? Get out of Nebraska with a loss, but without guys who get injured. You know, that's the one, you know, big thing here. Leave healthy and then return back home for the Southern Utah game, which is their home opener. Steve, it needs to be said, FCS opponents should not be taken lightly with this UTEP football program. Year one of Dana Dimmel, the first game of his tenure at UTEP, they lost in Northern Arizona. It was a bad loss in that first game as well. But even just besides that one, they've had struggles against their share of FCS opponents, even last year against Incarnate Word, a better FCS opponent, but nonetheless, still a team that's lower than the FBS ranks. Southern Utah coming home. I've got to win, but I think this is a really, really close game, Steve.
This is the kind of game that's going to drive me crazy, because you're right about that. I mean, I keep going back and forth on this, and I keep trying to say to myself, oh yeah, they're going to lose their home opener. But you know what? There's so much riding on this home opener for them. I mean, think about it. They already have 30,000 tickets sold, and here we are, we're still in the middle of July, right? And not only that, they've got, you know, people that are really wanting to see this team for the first time. This is a huge make an impression style of game. Yes, they beat them 48-45 last year when Scotty Walden was out with that 9-win Austin Peay team. But 45 points, a lot of points. And guess what? Southern Utah is returning almost everybody from last year. They're going to be dangerous. Could they come into the Sun Bowl and beat UTEP? Absolutely they could. But this kind of reminds me of maybe that Houston Baptist game years ago with Bailey Zappe. I feel like that's the kind of game we could get into where the Miners will win. It's going to be a track meet. Don't feel like this is the kind of game they're just going to dominate. I feel like this is one of those where it'll be entertaining, they'll survive, and maybe they'll get their first win just to keep fans excited. Because if they don't, and they lose this game, and let's just say Southern Utah comes in and really hammers UTEP, you can imagine what Minor Talk will be like after that game and how the luster will quickly be running, you know, shining right off of Scotty Walden and company.
You know, at that point, I know how this fan base is, Steve, and I could hear fans already saying, are they going to win a game this year? Is it going to be a complete write-off year and just a complete rebuild year? And those questions are valid if that happens, if they lose to Southern Utah. To those fans, I would just say, and we talked about it to start this podcast, the schedule softens up come November.
Yes.
So regardless of what happens against Southern Utah, no need to panic. It's just week two. But then it doesn't get any easier, Steve. At Liberty, at Colorado State, I can confidently lump these two together and say these are two losses for UTEP.
I'm just like you. Number one, Jamie Chadwell is becoming a very dislikable head coach in UTEP land because of what he did, bringing the Mariachis into his locker room to celebrate after they clinched beating UTEP last season. So that was an interesting storyline, too. But the fact is, Caden Salter's the real deal. It's a really good football team. And, you know, they're opening up with Campbell and New Mexico State before they get to UTEP. So chances are, you know, they're going to be 2-0, flying high, feeling like they can just run over the Miners. And even if UTEP comes ready to play against Nebraska, I feel like because of the veteran team Liberty has, this is going to be, believe it or not, a much tougher test for UTEP than maybe even Nebraska the first week of the season.
You know, Liberty is a team right now, Steve, that I think a lot of people believe could go and maybe run the table, you know, maybe even win every game this year and find themselves in a New Year's Six Bowl, dare I say, the college football playoff. But that really could be the case with a team like this. They have a ton of NIL. They bring back a lot of different players on their team, including their quarterback and Salter. So, yeah, this is a loss for UTEP right here. Colorado State game is interesting, right? Because last year they beat Boise State, and all the fans are going to say, oh, well, UTEP last year, you know, or 2 years ago, if they beat Boise State, they can do it again against another Mountain West opponent. I would just say this. Look at the UNLV team that came to the Sun Bowl last year and beat UTEP 45-28. The Mountain West, as far as football goes, has gotten a lot better. And it starts with a team like Jay Norvell's Colorado State group. And with this Colorado State group, they bring experience back to the quarterback position. Last year, it was kind of an up-and-down season, but they finished out a bit strong. Braden Fowler Nicosi, Nicolosi, there you go. He is back at the quarterback spot. And Steve, I have this Colorado State team not only beating UTEP, but beating them pretty comfortably here.
I mean, Torrey Horton's one of the best receivers in the league. So that's the other issue right now with Colorado State. You've got the best quarterback in the conference, and you have the best receiver in the conference. And they've got the best center in the league. Defensively, they're stacked. They've got the playmakers at linebacker and Chase Wilson and safety at Jack Howell. Yeah, they're going to be a handful. I know some people believe that UTEP can go in there and give Colorado State a game. Maybe so. But think about how this is going to be also really interesting, Adrian. By the time they play Colorado State, think of how battle-tested UTEP is going to be on the road. They will have already faced Nebraska and Liberty. So maybe to them, Colorado State is just going to be no big deal because of who they've played early on. The problem is Colorado State is another team that's got a chance to win 7-8 games this year. And, man, I mean, I know some people think schedule-wise UTEP has it easy. Not in the beginning, they don't. So I think 1-3 is probably one of the best-case scenarios to come out of these first four games.
Yeah, 2-2 would be a miracle. That would be just amazing. Then there's a bit of an upset there that happened on UTEP's side. If they end out 2-2, I wouldn't be surprised 0-4 at this point. But you and I both have 1-3 entering Conference USA weekday action. So, Steve, this is a great talking point right here. Are we a fan now? After I wrote off Conference USA weeknight football, I think I might swing back a little bit and not say that I'm all the way in on it, but I will say that it's bringing exposure to some of these teams that no one in the country would actually watch. So the first game, Conference USA weeknight that UTEP has, is a Thursday, October 3rd evening game at the Sun Bowl against Sam Houston. This is an interesting group right here because Casey Keeler, in year one of transitioning from FCS to the FBS ranks, they were kind of up and down. I felt like physically they couldn't really stack up. Definitely had a complete opposite season compared to Jacksonville State, who also transitioned from FCS to FBS, but the Gamecocks had a strong season, whereas the Bearcats struggled. I think this is where UTEP can win a game. It's a Thursday evening one. I know Sam Houston has a good offensive line. They have some questions on who's going to be their signal caller here. It looks like it's going to be Gunnell, but we'll see what ends up happening when it's all said and done. I've got UTEP winning here against Sam Houston at home on a Thursday evening.
Man, it's going to be a tough one, isn't it? It really is, because if UTEP is able to get by Sam Houston and become and get to 2-4, the schedule looks somewhat promising towards the end. It'll give Miner fans a little hope when it's all said and done. You know, I keep going back and forth on this one. I like Sam Houston this year. I really do. I feel like of all the teams coming back, they built on some things. And remember this, too. I'm a Casey Keeler fan. He's a good head coach. He knows how to win. Sam, the Bearcats are just one of these teams that I feel will be with the UTEP. They'll be in the middle of the pack this year. I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be a fun game. But I'm going to give the Bearcats the edge in what will be a tight one, which will send the Miners to a 1-4 mark.
Next up is Western Kentucky. This is a team that lost a lot of players, like Austin Reed, Malachi Corley. They lost a lot of players to the NFL. However, they've retooled in a positive way. This is going to be a week from that Thursday game, another Thursday game for the Miners. It'll be on the road October 10th, taking on Western Kentucky. I've got a big loss here for the Miners in this one, Steve. I just don't see them beating Western Kentucky on the road. TJ Finley, the new quarterback for the Hilltoppers, he'll get it done, and I think the Miners lose here October 10th.
Yeah, I'm with you on this. And I feel like Western Kentucky is probably the second best team in the league behind Liberty. And again, the Miners' road schedule in this league is a little difficult. Having to play Liberty and Western Kentucky both on the road doesn't do them any favors. So despite playing close to Sam Houston, they might give Western a game, but I'm already at this point, I believe I am 1-5 after those first six games. I feel like UTEP will be entertaining. They'll be close in a couple of these, but they're just going to be on the short end of the stick.
Next up is Florida International at home. This is October 16th. This is a Wednesday game. So unfavorable to UTEP, really, Steve. They go from a Thursday game to a Wednesday game. This will be at the Sun Bowl. So that's, I guess, a little bit comforting if you're the Miners. But this FIU team returns two guys who both accounted for 1,000 yards last year on the ground. It's Lawrence and Owens, the running back tandem. They might have Keontae Jenkins back at the quarterback spot if they decide to roll with him. Dual threat kind of quarterback. I like him. I think FIU wins this one. I've got the Panthers winning this game in El Paso.
I was in Miami for Vice Night last year when the Lambo was on the field. The uniforms were ridiculously drip for fans that love Miami Vice. They were great. And UTEP went in with Cade McConnell and hit them in the mouth so fast early on, the Panthers didn't even know what was there. And before they could even react, UTEP had a commanding lead that they never lost. FIU is going to come in here mad. They're going to want to get a little revenge on UTEP for beating them on Vice Night. But I think the Miners come back and play well in this one. I've been going back and forth. I feel like they're going to split with Sam Houston State and FIU. And it was really tough for me to decide, would FIU come in and beat them here, or would Sam Houston State come in and beat them here? I don't necessarily know if I could see the Miners winning both of those games. I think they win one of those two because I pick Sam Houston. I'll go with UTEP winning three straight against FIU and closing this one out to get their second win of the season.
So we both have 2-5 for all the people doing counting at home right now. Both of us have 2-5 going into their October 22nd game on the road at La Tech. You know, La Tech has a lot of question marks too this year, but I'll just give them the nod for experience. I don't even know who's going to be their quarterback. If it's going to be Turner coming back this time around, they've got a quarterback competition that'll drag out through the fall as well. Sonny Cumbie, I like what the program that he's building over there for Louisiana Tech. They're kind of going in through also a transition period right here. They could shoot up and they could have a great season when it's all said and done, but coming off a 3-9 season last year, I think they're just trying to build on this year. I still think they beat UTEP, so I've got UTEP taking a loss on the road here in this matchup.
I'm with you on this one, and I like Denario Davenport, their running back. He's a junior. He ran for almost 500 yards last year at Texas State. He transfers in. Keep an eye on him. I'm with you. This could end up being one of UTEP's best road victory opportunities. This and the Aggie game, really, are probably the two best, but I'm not sold yet on UTEP being able to turn things around here in October. So I feel like this is going to be we're going to see a lot of these kind of games. Entertaining, close, but I'll give La Tech the edge as well.
Next up is a home game against Middle Tennessee. Now, to call the Blue Raiders a team that is trending upward in Conference USA, I think it's pretty misleading, although at least they have their quarterback solidified right now with Vadiato. You know, this is a team right now where Derek Mason is taking over from Rick Stockstill. They're also going through a coaching change. They're going through a new era. Mason's more of a defensive coach. You know, he's a defensive-minded guy, and they have to replace five of their top six leading tacklers from last year. I think defensively they'll be okay. Offensively, I think they'll take a bit of a step back, but I still think they beat UTEP in this one. Middle Tennessee maybe wins four games, five games when it's all said and done this year, and they beat the Miners here in El Paso.
I'm with you. How about this stat for you? UTEP has only defeated the Blue Raiders once in this series, and it happened at the Sun Bowl in 2014.
That's a terrible note right there, and a horrible losing streak for UTEP. It feels like Middle Tennessee always delivers bad news to UTEP, and this one right here, I think Miner fans will expect a lot from their team. It just is going to be one of those trap games here with the Blue Raiders.
And last year was their best opportunity. They were tied in the third quarter. They had chance after chance in the fourth quarter to come back and win the game, but they were stopped on those three straight opportunities. So you could look back at that and say, well, listen, they went in and nearly upset Middle Tennessee on the road, but I don't think that happens this time around either. So I'm with you on this. I feel like the Miners will play well, but again, come up short, which has been a theme so far for 2024.
Kennesaw State, Saturday afternoon game, senior day, November 9th. This is the last home win, home game, by the way, but I've got UTEP taking the win here. I just can't see Kennesaw State having a positive season this year, transitioning from FBS or FCS to FBS. I feel like Jack State was such an anomaly. I don't know if that these things happen too much. Next year, Delaware comes into the mix and Missouri State as well. I don't think those teams will necessarily be strong out of the gate in football unless they know something that I don't. But yeah, I got UTEP beating Kennesaw State here November 9th.
I'm with you on this one. And by the way, I mean, it's their first ever meeting. Do you know Kennesaw State has only been playing football for about 10 years? They started in 2015. So the fact that in 10 years they've gone all the way to FBS and here in Conference USA, that's an accomplishment in itself. I feel like this is one of those programs that will get it going in time, but there will be that adjustment period. And because the Miners will be pumped up on senior day, this will be the third win of the season for UTEP.
So let me ask you this, Steve. If UTEP's playing for nothing at this point here, going on the road to Tennessee, November 23rd, they've got a bye week during the week of, I think it's the 14th, so they don't have to play that week right there. But this one coming here with the 23rd, it's a Wednesday, or actually this one right here in November is a Saturday afternoon game against Tennessee. Steve, this one right here tells me horrible game for UTEP, blowout potential. But if you're UTEP, could you throw out all the freshmen there? Could you throw out some of the inexperienced guys just to give them some experience to play in SEC football territory? Why not?
I mean, do you really want to give JP Pickles a start against the Volunteers just to see what he can do?
Would look scary.
Last year, Austin Peay was a 44-point underdog against Tennessee, and they led 6-3 in the second quarter. And it was actually a pretty respectable football game. They played well. So don't tell Scotty Walden this is just a game to throw out the kids. He's going to go in just like he did against Nebraska and just like he did against Colorado State. He's going to want to look good against Tennessee. He's going to want to see his team show him something. So, you know, that's going to be one of those games where, yeah, maybe you'll see some guys get some opportunities if the game gets out of hand. But I feel like he's going to go in there like every other game, trying to win, coming off a little momentum with that victory over Kennesaw State and wanting to show something against Tennessee.
So right now, both of us, we're kind of deadlocked, Steve. So it's all up to the battle of I-10 right here. 3-7 on both sides that you and I have right now. We did not talk about this beforehand. So this is just off the top. New Mexico State, Battle of I-10, November 30th right here. This is a team that was picked tied for fifth. I got the Miners going into the Battle of I-10 and winning. I think New Mexico State's going to struggle to get here by November 30th.
It's their only road win of the season. I'm with you on that. I'll go with UTEP also in this one. I'm amazed that New Mexico State, despite the mass exodus of all of their big players from the last couple of seasons with Jerry Kill, has such a relatively high expectation in conference Conference USA this year with the preseason polls. I'm trying to look at their team and going, where is it coming from? Look, before they figured out Diego Pavia, this team was going nowhere. And it's going to take a little time with Tony Sanchez to get things rolling again. Who knows? And this is the hardest part, too. Who knows what either of these teams will look like the last week of the season? Who knows how banged up the Miners will be, or the Aggies, or who will come around? I'm just going to give UTEP the edge because I feel like as the schedule softens a little bit here for the Miners in November, they'll take some momentum, and I think Scotty Walden is really going to want to make the most of this first rivalry game to end it.
So on these, in this regard right here, Steve, we are talking about UTEP winning two of their last three games to close out the season, 4-8 overall. Some fans will say, oh, it's a loss of a season, or, you know, everybody's trying to sell us on this season, but actually be an improvement from last year's 3-9 finish, plus catapult them and give them some motivation and momentum going into 2025, which I feel like, you know, if they're targeting a year to really go at it, they build all the momentum, get in some high-level recruits, really capitalize on the transfer portal, get a full year with an NIL collective under your belt, and then you're really moving as far as the football program goes.
Now, let's just say this. Scotty Walden is going to hate our prediction for 4-8 because he's probably looking at this team going 6-6, 7-5, 8-4 before they're going to be a 4-8 team. The problem is, like we've talked about, there are so many unknowns with this team. I feel like 4-8 is about right. Could they be 5-7? Sure. Maybe they beat Sam Houston State and FIU. I don't think they're going to win a lot of road games other than New Mexico State. That probably would be your best bet. But, you know, best case, their offense clicks early. They get a little confidence. He gets them to play above where they should be playing. And maybe this team can go out and surprise some people. I just don't think that's the realistic expectation in year one, because as we've seen for so many years before, it just takes a little time. And it's a whole new system, a lot of new personnel. I don't necessarily expect that to gel early on this season.
What would you say your ceiling and floor for this team would be? Because we kind of gave it in the middle, talking it out realistically. But what's your ceiling floor?
All right, fair enough. That's a good question. I will give them a ceiling of 7-5.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair. Like, maybe flirting for a bowl game coming out of the scene, very surprising, and then maybe beating some of these teams that are on the lower side of CUSA. Why not?
I feel like 7-5, Scotty Walden should be coach of the year. Just right out of the gate. I really do. Floor, 2-10. I mean, let's put it this way. Let's say they go with Skylar Locklear over Cade McConnell. He's never played. I don't expect anything from him. And then if Cade comes in and plays, it's a whole new system. And he's had to grasp that. But I don't know if Cade is going to necessarily be the perfect quarterback for this system. I hope he is. He's, you know, we're so close to him because of all the time he spent with us here at the radio station. But it all starts on offense. And it all starts really with their passing game and their running game and being able to work things. But just remember this. If the quarterbacks don't get this thing going and their defense has to be on the field all the time, which they're going to have to be anyway, because the concept of this offense is score, get up and down the field and score as quickly as possible. So you're asking a lot for this team. You really are. And I'm not necessarily, I just want to see some excitement. I want to see things we haven't seen before, but I'm not necessarily going to say that's going to translate to wins out of the gate. So I'll go 7-5, 2-10 are kind of my ceiling and floor for this team.
I think it's really fair, because I feel like even with the floor, you could talk yourself into winning two of Southern Utah, Kennesaw State, and New Mexico State. Those right there, you could think whatever you want about the roster overhaul. Those right there on paper as it stands right now should be winnable games right there for UTEP.
Absolutely. And we both went 4-8. So that's almost right in the middle of our ceiling and our floor. That's really what it comes down to, 4-8. So I just hope that, here's my biggest thing. If they struggle out of the gate, which I think is very realistic given their schedule, I just hope fans don't jump ship out of the, you know, start of the season and immediately start questioning the hire of Scotty Walden. I don't care who's coaching this team. This schedule was not built to be successful, no matter who is here, no matter who your personnel is. It is a very tough four games out of the gate. It really is. So, and that's going to tell us a lot about this team. It will tell us, you know, what they're made of and yet how they can compete against what are going to be better opponents.
I'm so interested to see it. I mean, just the fact that they have only five home games, right? I mean, next year when they have six, it'll be a lot easier. Well, Steve, it's always, I don't know if it's fun. I think it's always interesting to do this week by week. It's going to be great to reflect back on this, see how wrong we were. Hey, we've been on a streak, though. We're three podcasts into it, and the first two we were completely wrong. So let's see what we do this time around.
I hope we go 3 for 3. Look, last year I picked them 9-3. I could not have been more wrong. This year I'm picking them 4-8. I hope I am just as wrong about this year's team as I was about last year's team.
Me too. I hope so as well. And I want this team to prove me wrong in all the best ways.
That'll do it for us here on the UTEP Football Season Preview Podcast for Minor Talk. Special thanks to everybody who joined here. Sal Montes, Alberto Reta, Zay Galindo, Steve Kaplowitz, and of course, head coach Scotty Walden. We'll be back in action, of course, after the first UTEP football game right after Nebraska here on 600 ESPN El Paso.